Perhaps you are aware that the Washington State Senate Bill 5599 recently passed. And what it proposes to do is that in a situation where parents oppose their child to receive either medicalized gender transforming treatments or an abortion, that if therefore the child runs away from home, the state says it will give harbor to this child. It will provide a place for him or her to live. And it would therefore also help to provide these treatments that it identifies, rather than using the names, it tends to just identify them as protected healthcare services. And as it's explained, the parents would not be allowed to know their child's whereabouts. And by the way, this is, can be younger than 12 years old, too. The parents would not be able to know the child's whereabouts, nor intervene on his or her behalf. This bill also seeks to make Washington a sanctuary state, meaning that if there are children from other states who are in this particular predicament, they could run away to Washington State and receive the same sanctuary, as they call it. This bill seeks to fund all of this, $7.5 million from taxpayers, $7.5 million from taxpayers to provide and give grants to organizations to help carry out these programs. So we're talking about children. Concerned citizens of our state have begun what's called Referendum 101 to counter this State Bill 5599. Referendum 101, or it's sometimes just known as Reject 5599. To put this on hold, and really to put it before voters of the state in hopes that if the referendum goes through later in the year, it could be our opportunity to determine whether it's overturned or not. And my hope is, yes, I hope it's overturned. We have in our state, you're probably aware, what's called the Washington State Catholic Conference. And it functions on behalf of the bishops of our three dioceses in, here in the state. And they've just recently given us authorization to collect signatures here at a parish level to help promote the referendum, Referendum 101. Now, it's a tight window, as I'm told, in which we have to get this. So it's not a matter of weeks. I've got it here this weekend, and if I can make it available a few days beyond that, maybe. But it's here this weekend. And so I have available to you those petitions. In case you feel inclined that you, like me, feel like we need to put this on hold, we need to put this before voters, it's up to you. It'll be available. And by the way, if we wonder, boy, isn't this kind of, speaking about this from the pulpit, kind of a violation of separation of church and state? Church and state, rather. You've heard me say it before, and I think it's good for us to remember that the church has no interest in really delving into the matters of politics. In almost every case, it does not. However, when matters of politics sort of encroach into the things that we regard as sacred, we have no choice but to sort of speak up and to roll our sleeves and make our voices heard. And what's sacred, or what's important at this, is the autonomy of parents to help raise their children, especially small children, more than having the state say, we'll take care of them. So, even bringing this up at all, it's a difficult subject because it so easily triggers emotions. And the problem is we've lost the ability to be able to speak through difficult issues and to hear one another. And maybe to be okay with differences of opinion. I'm grateful I've been here long enough with most of you that I hope I've gained at least somewhat your trust. But again, it's hard to talk about these issues, whether they're issues related to, as we see on the news so often, race, even religion, but also all those things associated with LGBTQIA+. So many of the things in there that maybe we do need to talk about them, but it feels like we can't. Now, in a matter like what I mentioned was proposed in this aforementioned referendum, to express concern or some sort of resistance to it is too often met with accusations that, well, you must therefore be a hater. You are transphobic. You are insensitive to the harm that is being done to those who suffer with this, whether you call it gender dysphoria or anything else. You just don't care about what they're suffering with. Of course we do. But when it's brought up, it seems so easily to give way to sort of being shouted down with almost menacing anger. We need to be sensitive. We need to hear. But we also need to be able to express what we feel like are real concerns, to be heard. And to be clear, we are not doing ourselves or anyone a favor when we use sort of bombastic, sort of inflammatory or insulting language in speaking about any one of these ideologies that we don't necessarily agree with. That doesn't help. Be heard is important, but it's also important to be respectful. I remind us that it was back in 2015, 2016, thereabouts, in that time frame, that we first learned that the person we once knew as Bruce Jenner was now known as Caitlyn Jenner. It raised all sorts of questions. But I remind us, prior to that point, any notion of, I don't know, changing one's gender, it seldom crossed anybody's mind. But now it seems to be front and center of almost everything we see and hear. It seems like we've gone from 0 to 60 in the blink of an eye on all this. So I am among those who believe that we need to tread these waters carefully, patiently, and resist what we're inclined to do as people, be impulsive. I'm among those who believe that often what's at work down beneath the surface is not so much even a question of gender. I believe this. But instead, it's a yearning for love and intimacy, to feel secure in our own skin and with the things around us, to belong, to be affirmed, and to feel grounded, secure, and not as though we're out of control or powerless. I am among those who believe that because most of us struggle in vain, really, with these basic human needs and desires, well, they remained, perhaps you could say, the unresolved issue within us. And so therefore, we tend to react, seeking anything that can satisfy these deep human needs. Whether, by the way, it's healthy for us, either spiritually or physically. Now, even as a person of faith, I can understand how it sounds dismissive to simply tell a person, regardless of the problem, this one or any other, for whatever problems at work in their lives, Jesus is the answer. It's not very helpful to a lot of people. But nonetheless, there is wisdom in it. But it demands truly exploring the questions of who Jesus is, what he desires to understand about ourselves, what he is calling us to, and where he was trying to point us toward. These questions, these yearnings, they can't be answered, first of all, immediately, in the way that we tend to want answers. Nor can they be answered just kind of staying on a surface level, Jesus is the answer. Go dig in. It requires patience and persistence in the work that goes into what that means. And of course, we need help from people who love us and whom we trust to help us understand what that means. Me too, by the way. So whether on this challenging issue that I first brought up, or any matters of our troubled hearts, Jesus nonetheless implores us, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. Your souls will find rest. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light.